You all give God another praise offering for this choir. What a wonderful gift they are to the body of Christ, to this local church, and we give God the glory, the praise, and the honor. Herb is a singing somebody, amen. Brother Marvin is a singing somebody. Every time I see these men get up to sing, I say, well, some folk who criticize that we don't have enough men in the church just need to come on third Sunday and see the brothers singing in the choir and leading worship and sitting with their families. We thank God for those who are here, and we certainly want more to be here, but we're not going to overlook the ones who are here. Amen? Amen. Let's give the brothers a hand. It's third Sunday for the men of our church. And I thank God for these musicians and these choir members and these very gifted brothers and sisters. Before I preach, I just want to give a little shout out. Last night, the mayor of our great city, the Honorable Eric E. Jackson, had a most wonderful second annual Christmas in the Capital City celebration. Those of you who were there, give God a praise offering. It was a wonderful time, and had a great time of worship and fellowship. And the Jenkins brothers, Bishop and his brother, are quite the tag team duo. If you don't know what I mean, you ought to see them in action. But many of those choir members, Professor Craig Hayes and the mass choir of the city of Trenton, had several of our members in the voices in the mass choir. Brother Herb was one of them, and Aunt Geneva was another one, and so many others. So those of you who did sing, maybe you're sitting out there, if you're sitting up here, please just stand up. I want to see you and thank God for you, Brother Herb, and others of you who are out in the congregation. Did you sing? Just stand up if you did sing. So we thank God for those. And then there were wonderful honorees last night, and one of them was our very own, and that is our honorable congresswoman from the 12th congressional district. Bonnie has broken all kinds of glass ceilings. First black woman to hit the Democratic Party in the state of New Jersey. First, and maybe the first black person. I don't know if it was first black woman, first black person for the Democratic Party. And to serve as majority leader, as well as the first black woman ever to be elected to Congress from the state of New Jersey. Amen. And so it was said last night she was the first black from the 12th congressional district. No, she's the first black from the state of New Jersey ever to serve in the House of Congress. And we thank God for that. So Bonnie, stand up. She's here today with us, the Honorable Congresswoman. We thank God for her. Amen. And seated next to her is her supportive, loving husband. And I'm doing this for a reason, because both of them this month have had wonderful celebrations. And just a couple weeks ago, the Reverend William E. Coleman completed a three-plus year tenure as the interim pastor of the Second Baptist Church in Asbury Park. And the church came together with family and friends and had a wonderful celebration to thank him for those 3+ years. So Bill, stand up. The Reverend William E. Coleman. Amen. And so he's waiting on whatever the next assignment the Lord has. And maybe the next assignment is just go ahead and sit a little while. Amen. Enjoy your wife and be there to support all the work that's happening down in Washington, D.C. So wonderful time of celebration for families and friends and loved ones. And we thank the Lord for all of that. I want you to stand to your feet. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And I've been preaching out of the book, and I'm not going to do a sermon in the series that we've been doing, but I'm going to preach out of the book of Revelation. So I want you to turn with me to the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. The last chapter, chapter 22 of the last book of the Bible, which is Revelation. And I want to start reading in verse number 6. The last chapter, Revelation 22, the last book, Revelation of the Bible. Chapter 22, verse 6 says, "Then he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true.' And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Verse 7 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Skip down to verse number 12. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Skip down to verse number 20. "Surely he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming," what? "Quickly." Amen. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your eyesight, Lord, you who are our strength and you who are our Redeemer. We ask now on this blessed Sunday before Christmas celebration that you would continue to show up and show up and show up, O God. Evidence and manifest your glory in the lives of these your people, that we may all continue to know that you art God and above you there is no other. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray it. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen and amen. God bless you and God keep you is indeed our prayer. Ushers, you may take your seat as well. Today I want to talk about the theme of Advent. The theme of Advent. The candle reef on the left, to my left on the piano, or the big organ I should say over here, has been lit a candle for each of the 4 weeks of Advent. An Advent, as you have heard me say, and if you look in your bulletin, I've written a short paragraph there about the liturgical seasons and this particular season of Advent. Advent has many words in many different languages. In Latin, Adventus has the sense of the meaning of coming towards or coming to. And so to advance towards something or to advance towards somebody is to go towards them. And so the theme of Advent over these last 4 Sundays have all been with the thought that we would be preparing for the coming of Christ, that we would watch and wait for the advance, the coming to of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Christmas, the Mass of Christ, is aptly named because it is a celebration of Christ, a Mass in the Catholic ritual of holding worship or Mass. The Mass of Christ represents the celebration, the time of gathering that the people of God get together, and we look towards and for the coming of the Christ, the Christos, the Anointed One. And so Christmas aptly named the Mass of Christ. But in Eastern Christian cultures, like the Russian Orthodox Church or the Greek Orthodox Church or whatever the Eastern Orthodox churches are, they don't necessarily call their celebration Christmas. Many of them call their celebration Epiphany. It is the inbreaking of light that comes into the world. And how many of you know the song that we used to sing as our theme song, "Jesus is the light of the world"? That song represents, if you would, a sense of what our Eastern Christian Orthodox brothers and sisters celebrate, which is Epiphany. And so that celebration was 6 days into the new year, the calendar year, and the Roman of the Western celebration, Christmas, was 6 days before the calendar year. And if you add those 6 days together to integrate both the Roman Western Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, you get the 12 days of Christmas. Some of us have heard that recently, talked about. Our sister Tanya did a great job of giving a short expose about that at our Christmas celebration production last Sunday. And so Christmas, wherever you celebrate it, is a moment in which we stop and we realize that God sent Jesus into the world. Amen. And that ought to be a cause for celebration. That ought to be a time of magnification. And that ought to be a time of exaltation, because if there was no Jesus born, there would be no Jesus dying. And if there was no Jesus dying, there would be no salvation for you and me. And if there was no salvation for you and me, we would then be relegated to a life of damnation in a place called the eternal lake of fire. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful today that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is the celebration of Jesus at his birth that leads us and catapults us to the celebration of Jesus at his death and the resurrection on Calvary's, the resurrection from Calvary's cross on that wonderful third day after he was crucified. So Christmas is a recognition of God's salvific work. What do you mean, preacher? God's work of salvation, in which he preordained, foreordained that you and I would have a need of a savior, and that he would provide a way of escape from the enemy, from the beast, from the dragon, from the false prophet, from the evil one, from the deceiver, from the liar, from the one who kills, steals, who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if I just took a moment and talked about all the places around the world where the devil is rearing his ugly head to kill, steal, and destroy. All I got to do is name cities, and you know what I'm talking about. San Bernardino, California, 14 killed, massacred by those who are practicing an unholy form of radical Islam, which is really, I don't even call it Islam. All I need to do is call Paris, France, and another form of jihad, radical Islam, in which there are murders, those who seek to murder in the name of God. But for all the murders of radical jihad, all I got to do is call out the city of Chicago, and you would have 400 to 500 young black boys and girls, mostly, who also have died, not at the hands of radical Islamic jihad, jihadists, but at the hands of those who in many similar ways don't value life. And although they don't kill in the name of God, the effect is the same. So I'm one of those folk that say, yes, I got to call out radical jihad, but I also got to look at my places called Chicago and Newark and New York and Philadelphia and right here in Trenton, to say death anywhere and death everywhere is a tool of the enemy. And we must be prepared to call the devil a liar, because the Jesus God sent me said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen, somebody. And so this notion of this time in which we're living, in which we see so much death, so much chaos, so much confusion, as much as we must call out radical Islam, we must not forget that there are folk in every religion who are practicing radicalized form of their religion, killing in the name of God. I can name some radical Jews who want to kill in the name of Yahweh. I can name some radical Hindus who want to kill in the name of Krishna. I can name some radical, you name the religion, I can name some radical folk who want to kill in the name of their so-called God. And I believe that if you serve your God, certainly your God would not have you to kill another person in the name of that God. And so we who are believers in our Judeo-Christian understanding of Jesus as our Christ, We must call out death and evil and destruction everywhere and anywhere, no matter what form it might rear its ugly head. And so today's celebration of Advent, the Sunday before Christmas, is a time in which we are reminded that Jesus is the light of the world. And as much as I respect other religious traditions, those who serve their God in peace and love, I have to call and say that there is no other religion on the planet that says that God so loved the world, the Creator, that He came down Himself, wrapped God's self in flesh, and was born into this world to walk among humanity, to humanity the way to live the way God wants us to live. No other religion can claim that stake. And so then we must consider those who don't believe it, whether there is some truthfulness in that religion that says God so loved me that much. And so I believe that the greatest gift that has come to humanity is the gift of Jesus Christ upon this planet. Amen. And I bless the Lord today for the fact that God loved us that much. He cared to send us His very best, which really was coming down to show us Himself, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Today I want to take that theme of Advent, God coming into us, God coming towards us, God coming for us. And I want to use these three words in this last chapter of the book of Revelation to help frame the sermon. I want to talk about this word coming and what it means and what it intimates to you and I. I want to then go and talk about the word church. I want to end on what it means to celebrate Christ today. If I can give you a definition of the word coming, the Greek word is eltho, eltho. And again, you may not find much meaning in that word, but I want you to note the variety of ways in which the variety of meanings it has. It means to appear. And so it's not even just to come. You can see something coming, but sometimes you don't even know it's coming. It just pops up. Amen. It just appears in our situation. How many of you know, if you're living your life, there's some things that you don't see coming your way? Amen. Is there anybody here who didn't see that last challenge come your way? It just popped up out of the blue. How many of you didn't know that sickness was coming your way? You just went for a routine checkup and the doctor said, I've detected something, I've noticed something. It just appeared. How many of you know, not on the negative side, on the positive side, you're just minding your own business, doing your own thing, and all of a sudden God opens the windows of heaven, pours you out a blessing, and you're sitting there scratching your head wondering where it came from. How did it get here? Did I deserve it? And some of us need to stop trying to figure out where it came from and just give God the glory and the praise that it just appeared in your lives. Has anybody had some blessings just appear, just pop up out of the blue? I don't know about you, but I can look back over my life. I can look back over the last year. I can look back over the last week. I can look back over the last 24 hours. And God just mysteriously manifested some blessings in my life. Sometimes we look over the blessings that God manifested, that He made appear for our benefit and for our blessing. Put that screen back up. So eltho can mean to just appear. It can mean to accompany. Again, if I were to stop at each one, I can give you ways in which Jesus has manifested, has popped up in my situation. I can give you ways in which Jesus has taken me by the arm and accompanied me through my valleys and through my rough sides of mountains. I can take each one of these words, bring, how God has brought some stuff into my life, how God has grown some stuff. Just when I thought that thing was dead, God began to grow it alive again. How many of you have ever had some dead situations in your life, or some dead circumstances, and God breathed into it and brought life back into that circumstance? Enter, fall out. These are all verbs and prepositions in some ways in which God's, this word eltho, to come, is relevant for our lives. And the word for Advent, as I've said to you, is this word come. And I want you to note how many times the word come is mentioned in the text. I've already done the homework for you, so if you look here, there's about nine times, about six times, I should say, the word come or some derivative is mentioned in the text. In verse number 7, it says, I am coming quickly. And anytime the word or a phrase is repeated or mentioned over, you and I ought to take note of it. So three times the text says that the Spirit told John to write the words that Jesus says, that I am coming quickly. Jesus says in verse number 7, I am coming quickly. Verse number 12, I am coming quickly. Verse number 20, I am coming quickly. In verse number 17, it's mentioned three times. And I want you to then understand there's importance in the word to come. To manifest itself, to grow, to appear, to fall out, to accompany us in our circumstances. Jesus says, I am coming quickly. And if I were to hone in on a word that probably captures Jesus' ministry, it is the word come. Because in circumstances in which I needed him, he came to me. In times when humanity was at a place where they didn't know what was going to happen, God came to them. And I am of the mindset that actions speak louder than words. It is one thing to say, I'll be there, or I'll get there, but it's another thing to show up in the circumstance. And it's one thing to text and say, I'll see you at 4. It's another thing to call and I'll see you later at 9. It's another thing to email. It's another thing to communicate. But when you do it, then that speaks louder than words. And I am so grateful today that in the theology and the cosmology of the God I serve, that God came down from heaven to earth in my situation, in my circumstance, in my lion's den, in my fiery furnace. I say it all the time. God doesn't always take us out of circumstances. Sometimes he'll come into the circumstance with us. And when you think about the moments and the times in your life in which God has come to you, when everybody else has forsaken you, God has come to you in the midnight hour when you didn't know where your help was going to come from. God came and he sent somebody. An angel of the Lord appeared. A spirit of the divine came down. Someone who was disguised as a stranger showed up on your doorstep, knocked on your door, representing the Most High God. God comes to us. God comes to us. And in our Judeo-Christian theology, there are two ways or two times in which God comes. The first is his birth, and the second is when he comes in the book of Revelation. See, the birth is what we find in Matthew, the nice story of nativity in which the virgin girl is impregnated by the Holy Ghost, but the stepfather Joseph is brought into the situation, and there is a baby that is born, fulfilling Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a Savior is born, a child is given, and his name, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is the fulfillment of the first advent, the birth. But there's a second advent. The first advent was Jesus wrapped up in swaddling clothes. The second advent is when Jesus comes back in all of his full regalia and his royalty. The first advent, he probably had no hair on his head. The second advent, he's going to have a crown that says, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The first advent, he was carried and rocked in a manger. But the second advent, he's going to be on a white stallion coming down from heaven. The first advent, he had to go into Egypt into hiding. But the second advent, he's going to part the clouds and come out of the eastern sky. The first advent is the celebration of his birth. But the second advent is the celebration, the triumphal conclusion of the matter. And so we must never forget that he came once, but he's coming back again. And between his first coming and his second coming, there are multiple times in which he comes for the people of God. And I need you to celebrate Advent every day you get up and understand, God, how are you going to come into my life today? How are you going to advance into my situation now? I've been dealing with some stuff. It isn't over yet, but I'm waiting for you to come. I'm waiting for you to break in. I'm waiting for you to appear. I'm waiting for you to show up. I'm waiting for you to grow. I'm waiting for you to do something. I'm waiting, and I'm never going to stop waiting. I'm always going to have my eyes looking up to the hills from whence cometh my help. Christmas is not just about one gift. Christmas is about every gift that you get every day you wake up. God has given you a gift. And you better say thank you, Lord, for the gift that God is manifesting. Advent, 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 Advent. He's always coming. Brings me to a second point then, which is the church. It says in verse number 16, part A, the second point, the church, it says, well, the Greek word for the church, let me go back one. The Greek word for the church is ekklesia, ekklesia. Ek in Greek, ek, E-K-K, means out. Ekklesia means those of us who are called or gathered. And so the word church is a compound Greek phrase that means those who are called out. Listen now. And so when we, the church, gather together, we've been called out of something to represent somebody. Say that again. Some of us think the church is the building we come into every Sunday for worship. The church is not the building. Some of us think the church, and if you go another step further, that it is the gathered people of God. Those who gather together, if two or three are called together in my name, then I should be in the presence and in our midst. And I believe that. And so I don't need a lot of folk to have church. All I need is me and Deacon Willie Hood. We can have a Holy Ghost good time up in the Lord. I don't even need y'all here. I can have a Holy Ghost good time with me. And Wayne had church in here one Sunday. It was just Wayne in the tech room and he, me at the pulpit. And the radio was on and nobody knew that there was nobody in the pews, that we had shut down the city, the weather had shut down the city. But I said, we're going to have church, even if it's just me and Wayne. Wayne got in his 4x4. I got in my 2x2. But the Lord allowed me to make it here. Wayne went upstairs. I came into the pulpit. Wayne cranked on the system. I opened up the microphone and we had an invocation. I pressed go on a song that y'all didn't know was being played on my radio, on my phone. I then had altar prayer and then I had another song. And then I said, now stand up, open up your Bibles, turn with me to whatever the scripture was. And I began to preach, because if nobody else says amen, I've got some amens up in heaven. If there's nobody here,
to clap their hands. I've got some angels up in heaven that have flapped their wings. Church is not about numbers. Church is not about a building. Church is about your personal connection to God. And I don't care where you are. I don't care who's around you. You better get ready to have church. Because if God has done anything for you, you ought to get ready to open up your mouth and have church wherever you are. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, God. You can have church all by yourself. Folk can think you plumb crazy. But just say, I'm having church. Excuse me. I can sure enough tell you Bonnie's had some church up in Congress. And if you haven't, you better have church before you go vote on that bill. Some of y'all, before you go to your job, you better have church. You better park your car, turn your engine off, and say, Lord, I'm about to go into the den of thieves. I'm about to go around some demons. I need to be prayed up. I need to be praised up. I gotta have church. You alone can call on the Lord and God will show up in your circumstance and you can have church. And if you've been called out of anything, then you ought to have church all the more. We who are believers have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. And he didn't call you out of that for you not to tell somebody who got you out. Let me say it again. He did not rescue you for you to not give him reference as to how you got over and how you got through and how you got out. Because somebody else is out there wondering how they're going to get out, over and through. And you need to say, I didn't deserve it. It wasn't because I'm so good looking. It's not because I got a degree. It's because of God's grace and his mercy that brought me out of my darkness into my blessing. Some of us forget and think we did that. Better realize where your blessings came from. And so in this case, in this, put verse 16 up. It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. It is not ironic, nor is it happenstance, that John opens up the book of Revelation talking about churches. The church of Thyatira, the church of Philadelphia, the church of Laodicea, the church of Sardis, the church of Smyrna, the seven churches that we find in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. It is no coincidence then that John ends the book. And it's not him, it's what God tells him to do. Ends the book by says, I send my angel to the churches. Now remember, the churches aren't the buildings. The church are the people. So I send my angel to the people, to those who have gathered. And I want you to look at various scriptures in the text that talk about those, they, and us. And so the next verse, put this next verse up. It says, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel. Again, in verse number 16, it says he sent his angel. In verse number 6, he says, and he sent his angel to show his servants. Who's the church? The church are the servants of God. Let me say that again. The church are not the officers of God. The church aren't the musicians of God. The church aren't the choir members of God. The church aren't the deacons of God. No, it's not your title that makes you the church. What makes you the church is your service rendered unto the Lord. That makes you the church. Bonnie is not the church because she's a congresswoman. Bonnie's the church because she calls on the name of Jesus. Linda DeCosby's not the church because she's a deaconess, but because she calls on the name of Jesus. Lorraine is not the church because she is a minister. She's the church because she calls and serves the interest of the Most High God. Question is, who are you serving? Are you serving yourself? Are you serving people? Are you serving God? Servants, I send my angel to the servants. The next verse says this, but the next verse says, in verse 14, it says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. This is all in Revelation 22. So now the church are those who do his commandments. It's not church who do what you want to do. This isn't, who sing the song? Bobby Brown, My Prerogative? Who sang that song? This isn't Bobby Brown. You saw what happened to Bobby Brown. Now, his prerogative got him into a whole bunch of trouble. No, it's not about you doing what you want to do. The church is about doing what the master has called you to do. Now, I say that, and I know it sounds nice and theological, but I'm going to, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. Because every day, you got to decide, am I going to do what I want to do, or am I going to do what God wants me to do? Am I going to say what God wants me to say? Or am I going to say what I want to say? You know how some of us get, oh, no, she didn't just look at me like she just. No, that brother just didn't do what did he just do what I think he did? Lord, hold my peace. Lord, hold my tongue. Because if I say what I want to say, there's going to be some trouble up in here. If I do what I want to do, there's going to be some trouble up in here. But you better submit yourself to the will of Almighty God and do his commandments. What are his commandments? Pray for those who despitefully use you. What are his commandments? Love your enemies as you love yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What are his commandments? Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long. What are his commandments? Have no graven images before me. Remember, I am the Lord thy God that brought you up out of Egypt. How dare you put that house before me? Blessed are those who do his commandments. Next verse. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. That's not the church. And here's the piece I love about the church. I want you to look at this very closely. Go to verse number 11. Put this up on the screen. It says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And here's what I love about the church. The church has to be consistent. Because if we knew when Jesus was showing up, we straighten up our unrighteousness, wouldn't we? If we knew when Jesus was showing up, we'd get that thing together. But I'm so glad that Jesus warns us and he says, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. You're not going to have time to get it together. And so if I show up and you are unrighteous, well, you might as well just forget it, because you're going to be unrighteous when I show up. But if you're holy, go ahead and keep being holy. If you're righteous, go ahead and keep being righteous. If you're found doing the things of God, go ahead and stand on the promises of God. But you know how some of us are. Oh, Lord, mom and daddy coming. Let's get the house cleaned up. Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. I gave you all this time to get it together. So since you chose not to get it together yesterday and the day before and last week and last year, month, last year, don't try to get it together now. It's a little too late. He who is just, let him be unjust, let the just still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. When I show up, I want to find you doing the work that I've called you to do. If you're a prayer warrior, go ahead and get your prayer warriorship on. If you're a praise leader, keep on praising him. Not just on Sunday morning, in every circumstance and situation in which you find yourself. They ought to say, oh no, here she come again. She always praising the Lord. And you ought to show up and say, praise the Lord. God has been good. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way, food on my table, clothes on my back. Don't you have something to praise him for? Oh no, here he come again. Always praying, Lord, get me through this circumstance. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, I call and I declare and I decree. Some folk gonna get tired of you being the church. But don't you let other folk discourage you from being the church. You go ahead and be the church. Because when Jesus comes, he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. As I get ready to go to my seat, I've talked to you about what it means for him to come. Talk to you about what it means to be the church. Lastly, I want to talk to you about what it means for him to be the Christ. Third point is Christos. The word in Greek, or Christ, the word in Greek is Christos. And the verses, and that Greek word means the anointed one or the chosen one. The verses that are in the book of Revelation that references Jesus as the Christos are found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. They're found in Revelation 12 to 22, verse, I believe it's 12. Put this first screen back up. 16 says that John is told to write what Jesus calls himself. And he says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He goes on to say another I am statement, and he put this one up. He says in verse 13, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so Jesus is coming to remind us of who he is. And so on this Christmas, I want you to just remember that in all of what you may be going through, and Christmas isn't always the most joyous occasion for some people. I can look at Ernest Lane, and whose brother just passed last week and buried him last week. I can look at Deacon Kelvin Smith, who was with his daddy when his brother died, but came to bury his brother and was on his way back to his daddy. And the daddy died before the plane landed. Christmas. I can name George Bradley, who's been with his mother by her side for X number of years as she was 92. And just a week before Christmas, God calls Mama home. And so whether it is death, or whether it is employment, or whether it is sickness, December 25th, a time of joyous celebration, doesn't always find every household filled with joy. But if you find yourself in one of those households, I need you to look in the last book of the Bible and look at the last chapter in the last book of the Bible and remind yourself of who Jesus says he is. And he says, I am the Alpha, I'm the first, and I am the Omega, I'm the last, I am
am the beginning and I am the end. That means there's nothing before him and there's nothing after him. And everything in the middle, he's got preeminence and dominance over. And so that lets me know that if I just be the church, no matter what circumstance I find myself in, that the God I serve, if I just call on him as my Christos, as my deliverer, as my savior, as my way maker. Do I have a witness here today? Has God ever brought you out of any kind of circumstance? I need you to say he is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There's nothing before him, nothing after him, nothing beside him. He is my all in all. And so as I think about the great gift of Christmas, the gift of Jesus, the gift that keeps on giving, that every day you and I wake up, that it is a gift from Almighty God to let somebody know that he who has already come is coming back again. And he says, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my gifts, my rewards are with me. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but every day is going to be Christmas up in heaven. Every day is going to be a time of celebration. Every day is going to be a day of thanksgiving. Every day is going to be a time of joy, praise and worship, because of what God has given you and me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember this Christmas. You are the church. Keep being the church. Don't let anybody knock you off the road of being the church. Church is in the building. Church is in the numbers. The church is your relationship with Almighty God. And if you are the church, he will continue to be your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords. God bless you on this Christmas day, on this Christmas Sunday. And may you celebrate the advent of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give God a praise offering in this place. The Lord is worthy to be praised. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation out to discipleship, because we believe that there may be someone who wants to respond to the gift that God has given them. So if you're here today, I want you to think about for a moment your understanding of Christmas. Your understanding of Christmas. Your understanding of the church. Your understanding of being who God has called you to be. And so the choir is going to sing in a moment. I hope you would take a moment to just reflect on what is God calling you out of and what is God stepping into for you. And if he has done that, I want you to let go and let God. I don't know exactly who you are and what you've been through, going through, just came out of. But if you've not made that commitment to Christ, I want you to think about that today. I want you to come, come, come. Jesus came for you. I want you to come to Jesus in the name of Jesus. Choir, go ahead and sing. The first invitation is for you to join the church. If you have never been a member of a church or you want to be a member of this church, I want you to come right now. God is calling you. God is calling you. God is calling you. God is calling you. Anybody here today want to join this church today? Maybe you're a visitor and you didn't expect to join, but I want you to come and make that declaration today. Secondly, is to have a life
of joy with God. You can have that. You can have that. And I want to invite you to come. Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So if you're here today, I want to offer you Christ today. Anyone here? Anyone here?